Welcome to today's Perry Fairway. Let's Talk Dallas County program. My name is Joe Sierwinski. On today's program, I am privileged to be joined by Dallas County Sheriff Chad Leonard. Sheriff, thank you so much for joining me today.
Oh, thanks for having me, Joe.
So several things to talk about today, starting with a program that you are involved in called iPledge. Now, this is something that seems like it's relatively new. So what can you tell me about it?
Well, we've been doing this for a few years now. Basically, it is a tobacco compliance check program that we've agreed to help with. Basically, we will go around all the retailers and stuff. And the idea isn't to jam anybody up or get anybody in trouble, but it's a lot of education stuff here. And it's to make retailers do a better job at IDing, you know, our young people and keeping tobacco products and vaping products and all those things out of our minors' hands. And, you know, retailers should welcome this, you know, and it's also alcohol compliance, you know. We need to kind of do a better job at keeping that stuff away from our young people. So we've agreed to go out and do some educational stuff and do some compliance checks around the county for all of our tobacco retailers.
So the educational aspect of it, is that mostly with like the kids or is that with the store owners and that sort of thing?
We're going to offer it up to store owners. There's a way for anybody who's selling those things to reach out. There's a website that they can request training and those type of things. And whether we do it or the state of Iowa does it, either way. But the whole idea behind it is to help people do a better job to make sure that our young people aren't getting their hands on this stuff.
All right. Now, the vaping thing, that seems like a fairly new issue, but have you run into many problems with that?
Yeah, we're running into a lot of complaints from parents and school teachers and the vaping in schools and stuff. I mean, you know, unfortunately, we have kids vaping in the classroom stuff because it's so easy to do. And these machines, you know, teachers are, you know, unfamiliar with what they all look like. It can look like a thumb drive plugged into your computer and it's just charging it, and they can unplug it and inhale it and plug it back in and it stays on the charger. So there's so many different devices out there. It's an educational thing for our parents and our teachers, everything. I mean, we need to do a better job, make sure that they know what they're looking for when they have concerns like this.
All right. Now, another thing I want to ask you about today is the Shop with a Cop program, because that's actually coming up here this weekend, correct?
That's true. This Saturday, we plan on taking approximately 50 children. That'll be going with us Saturday, and we always rely on our partners with the Iowa State Patrol and Department of Transportation. All of our local police departments, they usually step up and help us, and we meet at a location. We take a big convoy with all these children down to the Jordan Creek Walmart. Each child receives $100 to spend, and it's basically up to the officer to keep kind of a record book of how much they're spending. You know, if they go over, that's okay too. You know, so this is our benevolent association that's raised the money throughout the year to fund this. So, you know, you figure 50, 60 kids, regardless, we always go over budget, but the people in and around Dallas County have been wonderful as far as donations and paying for this program. So I'm not sure how many years it's been going on, but I would say probably close to 20 years now. It's been very successful, and usually the school districts are the ones that submit the names, and we go through and we always try to take the first newcomers. If we have some kids that have already been and we have money, we'll continue to take those kids too. It's a great day. It's a lot of fun.
Why do you feel like it's important to keep this sort of program going?
Well, this program's important because it shows all those young people, you know, it connects them with law enforcement. And, you know, this day and age, it's always a positive. Let these young men and women, you know, see that cops aren't bad people and that they're approachable people and that they're just regular people. And they go out and they spend, you know, 2-3 hours shopping and they have a great time. They get to meet Santa Claus. They get, you know, cookies and punch and those type of things. And Walmart does a great job for us as far as, you know, taking care of these children. And they usually help us out with all the wrapping and stuff, all the gifts. And, you know, the program is designed that the child has to think about somebody else other than themselves. The child comes in, they have so much money to spend. They are to buy their siblings a gift. They're supposed to buy their parents a gift before they buy themselves a gift. And that's the fun part. It's fun watching these little boys and girls see their wheels turning, you know, what they want to do. And some of them are pretty good with numbers, you know, watching them do the math in their head and stuff. So a lot of fun. I know the officers enjoy it. I absolutely love the program and we'll continue doing it for a long time.
All right. Now, a couple more things I want to talk to you about today. During the most recent supervisors meeting, you were talking about staffing for the sheriff's office, particularly at the courthouse. What can you tell me about this and your concerns with staffing?
We asked for an additional deputy to help man the courthouse security. And we did that large part because once motor vehicle moved in there, for those that don't know it, I mean, you have to go get your license plates now. You have to go to the courthouse. And when you enter the courthouse, there's a metal detector there and court security's there. So, you know, they're averaging over 200 people a day at the counter for motor vehicles. But most of those folks bring in their families. You know, they're bringing in their little kids and stuff. And we welcome that. But that's adding 400, 500 people a day that court security's now running through the metal detector and through court security process when you enter. So we're unable to properly man the courtrooms now when court's in session. So we had to ask for another person to go up there and help. And the future of court security, you know, is yet to be determined. The idea is when we move into the new sheriff's office, that this current building will be turned into a courtroom or two. So that would allow us to bring inmates from the new facility into this facility that we're in right now. And the public won't have to interact with inmates that are, you know, in handcuffs or whatever. So it'll be a separation there. So that'll be a drawn out process, I would assume another year beyond when we get in the new facility. So we got to determine how much court security is going to be needed for this building and the existing courthouse. And so that's the process we're in right now.
All right. Now that segues nicely into my last question, which is about the new law enforcement center. I know a lot of us were hoping that it would be open by now, really, but tell us a little bit about the latest update on the law enforcement center.
What I'm being told right now is middle of March would be a kind of move-in date. So it seems to be on course for that date. So unless we have any major weather to deal with or something, I think they've got a lot of people out there going to work that it's finally all enclosed and heated. You know, there's three sections of the building, A, B, and C. Seems like most of A's done. B's pretty close, and C's that jail portion that takes more work than we're really aware of, you know. So that's all enclosed now, and they got a ton of people in there going to work. So hopefully they stay on course and we're in it sometime in March.
All right, now I know during the bulk of the construction process, you were basically meeting every day or every week with people over there. Do you still need to provide much input at this point, or is it pretty much the way it's going to be?
Well, it seems like there's a lot more little stuff now that it's getting down to the final stuff. So yeah, it seems like my time out there is a lot more than it even was in the beginning. So this has been a 3.5 year process right now, or close to it. Spent a great deal of time out there making sure it's what we asked for. And now that all the little stuff's being done and the final stuff's getting close, yeah, it seems like more questions are being asked and, you know, more time out there. I got a great staff. The two chief deputies I've got, they spend a lot of time out there as well. And, you know, one of the important things too is I know it's a little bit later than planned, but according to the Samuel Group and the architect firm, it's still under budget. So I am happy with that. And, you know, when it gets final in March, it'll be pretty close to what we bonded for, I'm sure. But at least for, you know, my biggest concern was to make sure we never went over. And I think they're going to accomplish that goal.
All right. Well, Dallas County Sheriff Chad Leonard, anything else that you'd like to mention to our listeners today?
Oh, just holidays coming. Hope everybody had a great Thanksgiving. And obviously Christmas break's coming, and just be safe. And if you need anything, we're always here. So give us a call.
All right. Thank you so much for joining me and for all the information.
Thanks for having me.
That's been today's Perry Fairway Let's Talk Dallas County program with Chad Leonard. You can find this program at RaccoonValleyRadio.com. My name is Joe Sorwinski with Raccoon Valley Radio News. Perry Fairway, always fresh, always affordable.